In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Daphne's going to come and preach, and as she does, I'm going to pray for her. Lord, we thank you for Daphne, and we thank you that as she's been preparing this morning's message, you have been speaking into her heart. And so we pray, Lord, that you would take those words, that wisdom, and that you would impart it into our hearts so that it may affect our lives, and so that we can bless those around us and bless your world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Phil. Good morning, everyone. Well, we're continuing to think about the theme renewing strength, following on from the Scargill weekend, which some of us were on. So I just want to remind you of those verses from Isaiah before going on to today's verses. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young people stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Well, at the church where I served in quite a needy part of Hull just before coming back to this area, there was a lovely man in the congregation called Jack. And whenever the state of the world was being discussed or terrible things that were happening, he would always come out with the same line: "It all goes back to the garden." And it's true, isn't it? This weariness, this need for our strength to be renewed, the mess that the world is in and that many people's lives are in, the brokenness of the world, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. And today we're going right back to Genesis to see what God had to show us about work and rest in the beginning, before things went so wrong in that garden. And then in the light of the New Testament, how this is still relevant for us today. Well, three verses set the scene for those 6 days of creation, which you all are very familiar with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said. God speaks order out of chaos. Nothing is created apart from God's powerful word. And we're told in John's Gospel, chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And Jesus, of course, is the Word. And we're told in Genesis 1 and verse 2 that the Spirit of God was hovering over the deep waters. So in the beginning, God, in all his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. Chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis give us the details. Nicky Gumbel, in his comment on this passage, in his Bible in 1 Year commentary, sums up what can become very complicated when he writes, You are not here by chance. This universe is God's creation. You are made in God's image. Genesis gives an account of the beginning of the universe. It goes way beyond the scientific questions of how and when. It answers the questions of who and why. Scientific theories do not prove or disprove this explanation. Rather, they are complementary. So the Creator God created the universe and everything in it, including human beings, out of love. He turned disorder into restful order, and he turned emptiness into full and abundant life. The Bible tells us what happened on each of the 6 days of creation, with the pinnacle on the 6th day when God created man and woman in his own image to be in relationship with him, in unbroken fellowship with their creator. And he saw all that he had made, and it was very good. That's verse 31. But many people today feel insecure and worthless and of no value. Now, according to God's word, that is not true. God didn't create rubbish. He looked at those he had created in his image, and he blessed them, just as he'd blessed animal life. And he saw that his whole creation was very good. So why the discrepancy? Well, to quote my friend Jack again, it all goes back to the garden. And we'll come back to this. But I want to just move into chapter 2 now and those verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he'd been doing. God worked and he rested. And he didn't rest because he was tired. Verse 28 from the Isaiah 40 passage that we're basing this sermon series on tells us that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary. No, he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested as in someone taking a step back to look at what he had created and being satisfied with his work. So it becomes a day of celebration and blessing. The word Sabbath isn't used here, but the root of the Hebrew verb for rested is the origin of the noun Sabbath. We are made in his image, so it makes sense that if God worked and rested, so should we. Work is meant to be a blessing, and rest is not an optional extra. If we are to function as God created us to function and be in harmony with him and his created world, it seems logical that we should follow his pattern. But we know that today many people are workaholics. For many people, their work never seems to stop. Smartphones and new technology mean that people can be on call even when they're supposed to be off duty or at home. During the pandemic, some people actually found it helpful to have to stop, and some reassessed how they were spending their time, and some decided to make long-term changes. But even so, for many people, there is often pressure to work longer hours. Think of the NHS workers, workers on minimum wages, single parents or university students taking extra jobs to try to pay the bills, especially now with the huge cost of living increases. Busyness and stress can take over our lives, and it doesn't seem to matter what stage of life we're at. If you're young with a family, we know how busy that can be. And as you get a bit older, then you've got pulls from older generations and younger generations, and that can be tricky. And then when you retire, how many people say they don't know how they had time to work? So busyness and stress can affect every stage of life. Time seems to get stolen in all sorts of ways. We often seem to have too much to do. What's happened to the balance of work and rest that God modelled? Well, it all goes back to the garden. And of course, we know what happened there, in the garden that God had planted in Eden, which means delight. My grandmother was called Eden, and I thought it was a beautiful name. It means delight. God's beautiful, harmonious creation was spoilt by the rebellion of man and woman who he had created. He'd provided everything that they needed, but he'd also given them the wonderful gift of free choice. And we know that they made a very bad choice to disobey God and do their own thing. Unity and harmony, peace with God, with each other, with animals and with the earth, all this was shattered. But still, God came looking for his people. He never stopped loving them. As the communion prayer that we quite often use says, "When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son." And this rescue plan is even hinted at in Genesis 31, verse 15. No, that's the wrong reference. It's in the Genesis passage. I'll find you the reference later. Jesus, our Saviour, would come to bridge that chasm that had been opened up by human rebellion and make recreation possible. Well, going back to the day of rest, there isn't any mention of the formal observation of the Sabbath in the Bible until Exodus chapter 16. You remember that Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. The people had seen the miracle of the Red Sea parting for them, and it must have been a great relief to escape from the slave drivers. But after a month of travelling, the inevitable happened, and people started to grumble. "Why have you brought us into the desert for us to starve? Would have been better to die in Egypt. At least we had food to eat there." The Lord provided for his people once again. He sent down manna, the bread of heaven, for the people to eat. They were to gather just enough for each day, but on the sixth day, they were to gather enough for 2 days, because the seventh day was to be a Sabbath, when they were to rest. The first use of the word Sabbath in the Bible. And then, of course, at the formation of the nation of Israel, with the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments at Sinai, the fourth commandment is, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." That's Exodus 20, verse 8. The observance of the Sabbath became a distinctive characteristic of the Israelites, helping them to maintain their identity, especially during the troubled time of the exile. But by the time of Jesus, Jewish tradition had added so many additional requirements and restrictions to the keeping of the Sabbath that what God had intended as a blessing had become an intolerable burden. Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees on several occasions about his attitude to the Sabbath. When he was criticized because his disciples picked corn on the Sabbath day, he cut across all those traditions and reminded them of God's purpose in introducing a day of rest for spiritual, mental, and physical restoration. A day which God blessed to be a blessing to his people. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man and woman, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus was honouring God's original purpose, and he, as God's God-made man, had authority to overrule those man-made additions to God's institution. He was in tune with his Father, as always. Jesus' resurrection was on the Jewish first day of the week, and over time, that became the special day for Christians to meet together to worship, a day of rest and celebration and blessing for Christians, often called the Lord's Day. When I was young, Sundays were noticeably different to all the other days of the week. It was quiet everywhere because no shops were open and not many people worked on Sundays. There wasn't all the sport and other events organised on Sundays. Whether you went to church or not, you knew that Sundays were different. But it's not like that now, of course. And some people here might be too young to even have known it like that. But to the world today, every day is the same. In 1985, there was a campaign called Keep Sunday Special, opposing plans to introduce Sunday trading. There was an alliance of faith groups, trade unions, shopkeepers, and community groups. They struggled for 20 years to try to protect Sunday as a special day. But eventually, commercial interests won, and we are where we are today. That makes it harder for Christians, because we can get drawn in by the culture we live in. But we do need to stay faithful to God's teaching about our needs. I have a little red mini and I love it, but it's going to be 14 this year. So occasionally I get funny, strange warning lights coming on, and or the clock will stop working, or there's a strange noise or something, and I'm not quite sure how to put it right. So I get out my handbook and see what the maker of my car advises me to do. The maker will know best how to put things right on his creation. And God is our maker, of course. And when things go wrong, he knows how to get things back on track, how to put things right. And he's given us the best handbook in the world, in the Bible. A day of rest and celebration and blessing is in the handbook, so that life can be lived in balance. If we are to allow God to restore us and renew our strength so that we can soar on wings like eagles, we do need to wait upon him, to give time to him. It can be great to go on a parish weekend, as we did a couple of weekends ago, or to go to Spring Harvest, as many people do, or to listen to inspirational talks online. But I think we do need to keep Sunday special, to give God honour and priority on Sundays, whenever possible, and I know it's not always possible, but to be in fellowship with each other so that we can function well on the other 6 days. Time to allow him to bless us, to renew us by his strength as we gather together, so that we can bless and encourage each other and be built up into the strong and effective body of Christ in this place, so that we can reach out to the world. It's interesting that as Christians, we rest on the first day of the week, Resurrection Day, Re-creation Day. And then we work from that place of rest and strengthening. Jesus overcame the events in the garden that my friend Jack was so exercised about, so that we can know his resurrection peace and hope. If we follow God's pattern of work and rest in balance, it will surely help us to proclaim that peace and hope to the world. Let's pray. Lord, you promise that if we wait on you, you will renew our strength. And you have given us a pattern of work and rest which provides the time we need to do that, to wait on you. Help us, Lord, to keep Sunday special for you. In Jesus' name, amen.